night of this past week. But before we get started, I wanted to read something to the church here. Also, just a quick reminder, don't forget, next Sunday morning, we're going to have a guest speaker. Evangelist Stanley Rogers and his family are going to be here. He'll be preaching, and then he and his family will be singing as well, playing instruments, and I want you to try to be here for that if you can. But then Sunday night, 5 o'clock, we're going to have our Valentine's banquet. And again, my wife would like for the youth to help out with this, so if you plan to be here, let her know. And also, ladies, try to be here between 4:30 and 4:45 to help get everything in place. But those are some things coming up that we need to remember. And I'm assuming Brother Rouse put this up here. It was on the pulpit this morning. But it's from Victory Baptist Missions International. And this is the mission board that our missionary, Brother Bobby Batutu, is out of. He is our missionary to the Philippines, as most of you know. Well, this is a letter from them. I'm just going to read it to the church and let y'all think about this, see what you think about it. But it says, Dear Pastor and church members, thank you kindly for supporting the missionaries. And the Philippines are mentioned because, as I told you, those three men were together whenever the work was done in the city of Thessalonica. And it says, under the Church of the Thessalonians, it's called the Church of the Thessalonians because it was a church composed of Thessalonian believers. So it's called the Church of the Thessalonians. And it's interesting to me, just as a side note, today when you have churches, there's always a name like New Hope Baptist or Faith Baptist or Grace Baptist or Buck Creek Baptist or Pleasant Grove Baptist or whatever. But you know, you don't find that in the Bible. What you don't, y'all understand what I'm saying? You don't find those particular titles. It's just called by the place more times than any where that church was. Like this church, it was in Thessalonica, so it's called the Church of the Thessalonians. When you read about those seven churches there in the first couple of chapters of Revelation that Jesus addresses, they're not given titles like churches today. They're called the Church of Ephesus or the Church of the Laodiceans and that sort of thing. So these churches here were basically named according to where they were, their geographical location. And that's why it's called the Church of the Thessalonians. Their spiritual position is that they were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, which we talked about. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So if you're in the Father, you're in the Son. If you're in the Son, you're in the Father. And that's the spiritual position of every person who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then there's the desire for grace and peace for these believers, which come only from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the salutation, the greeting, if you will. And then Paul moves on in verse 2 and says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And this is something that Paul says about a number of his converts or people that he wrote to. And he talks in verse 2 about how he and his companions, he says we, not I, he includes at least the two that are mentioned in verse 1, Silvanus and Timotheus, but I'm sure he's really meaning anybody that had any type of connection with these believers in Thessalonica. He says, we give thanks. Now, they were grateful. They were thankful to God, it says, for you all. For you all. That is, for all you believers there in Thessalonica, we thank God for you. We give thanks to God for you. And notice how often he says, we give thanks to God always, always for you all. So they were constantly thanking God for these believers there in Thessalonica. And we'll see in just a moment some of the reasons why they were thankful to God for these believers. But again, Paul constantly mentioned being thankful for people that were his converts or his disciples, whatever the case. And I do believe that you and I ought to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be thankful to God for the fellowship that we're able to enjoy with other Christians. I got to thinking the other day and was actually talking to a friend of mine about just the various blessings, the manifold blessings that I have in my life simply because of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were just talking about how he changes your life so much and all the things that come into your life whenever you have that relationship with him. And one of the things that's so amazing to me is the many people, just countless people that I have met that I never would have met without my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the people that I know now are folk that had I continued on the path that I was traveling before, our paths wouldn't have crossed. Or at least we would never have become companions and friends and enjoyed fellowship with one another, because I was certainly not going in a direction that would have caused me to meet these people or want to be with these people. But now that I'm saved and trying to live for God, it's just amazing the people that the Lord has allowed me to meet through the years, the missionaries, the friends, people in states all over this country, people in other countries now that I know, people I've met just because of him. And I'm thankful to God. I really am thankful to the Lord for these people that I've been able to meet. In fact, the fellow that I was talking with, I told him when we were talking, I said, "Brother, do you realize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, me and you would never have met? And we're good friends. We're real good friends." And I said, "Do you realize without that relationship that you have with him and that I have with him, me and you probably would never have met. And if we had, we certainly would not be friends like we are now." And so it's just amazing to me how the Lord does that stuff. And to me, one of the greatest blessings in my life is my brothers and sisters in Christ that I can fellowship with. You people here at this church, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I don't just see y'all as church members. You know what I mean? Now, I realize that I'm the pastor and y'all are the parishioners. I realize that. But to me now, especially since so much time has gone by and I've been with you so long, it's progressed well beyond that for me. I don't know how y'all feel or whatever, but to me, I just love you folks here. And to me, you're like family to me, and I mean that. And one of the great blessings that I thank God for is this church family right here. I'm so thankful for you people. And I hope that y'all are thankful for each other. That you thank God just for, like Miss Debbie, giving that thank you card that I read this morning, saying how thankful she was to be a part of this church. That's how I want every member of this church to feel. To be thankful that God brought them to this place and allowed them to be with the people right here. Not that we're better than other folk or anything like that, but this is just where God's put us. This is where we are, and we've developed relationships. A lot of you, of course, when you came here, you knew each other before you ever got here. And hopefully since you've come to this church, your relationship has been good and hopefully it's even gotten better than it was. But I want us to be thankful for one another and realize what we have right here in this church. Not perfect. You're not perfect, none of you. And I ain't either. Amen. We are a long way from it. All of us are. But we're saved. We're in the same family. And God's got us together right here in this church. And I hope and pray that we don't take each other for granted. I really do. I hope we're thankful that we thank God. Paul says we give thanks to God always. Don't ever stop thanking God for your church family and for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Always be grateful, because that's a tremendous blessing. Just think, and I don't know why I keep going on, maybe the Lord wants me to, but just think of what a blessing people in this church have been to some of you. Just think about that. And think about what a blessing it is that there's people all in this congregation praying for you right now. What a blessing. Got a lot to be thankful for. But he says, we give thanks to God always for you all. Notice this, making mention of you in our prayers. So when were they thankful? Well, they were thankful always, but they were thankful specifically when they prayed. When they had that time of prayer, they would make mention of these believers to the Lord. And you know, if you want to do something for me, you know what you can do? You can just make mention of me when you're talking to the Lord. I would appreciate that very much, and I mean that. I told a fella in the church this week, and he knows who he is, talking about doing something for me. I said, well, I tell you what you do. You just pray for me and my family. And I mean that. I mean that. So if you want to do something for Brother Keith, then when you pray, just make mention of me if you don't mind. Just mention me, mention my family to the Lord in prayer. Making mention of you in our prayers. One of the greatest things that someone can do for you or you can do for someone is mention them in prayer. But notice he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And that was certainly something that he practiced. Paul tried to practice all that he preached. And he said pray without ceasing. He says remembering without ceasing. So we don't stop remembering this. It's something that we keep on remembering, and this is why we make mention of you in our prayers and why we're thankful to God for you. These things here, remembering without ceasing, number one, your work of faith. There's three things he mentions here. Your work of faith. Notice he doesn't say that faith is a work, because it's not. The Bible says, he that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Faith is not a work. But here's the thing about faith. If it's real faith, then it's going to produce some work. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Faith didn't work. Faith is just belief in the Lord. It's belief in the Lord for salvation, but then it's belief in the Lord on a daily basis in your life, where you're trusting in him at all times, as the Bible says. And the Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So faith is very important, but faith itself isn't a work. It's just faith in the Lord. But if it's real faith, I'm talking real faith, then it's going to produce some works. And he says here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. That was work they did as a result of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if he's referring to a specific work or just all of the things that they had done. I don't know, but whatever he's referring to, it was the result of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that he and his companions remembered. And that's something that caused them to be thankful to God for them, their work of faith. But then also, he says, and labor of love. Labor of love. That's labor that is the result of love. That's what that is. Labor of love. It's a labor that's the result. Just like it's a work that's a result of faith, it's a labor that's a result of love. And if a person really loves folk, and a person really loves the Lord, then I just have to believe that'll be evidenced in their life. They'll do some things, some spiritual labor. They'll be laboring in regards to the things of God and the people of God and so forth. There'll be some labor that is there. The old saying is, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Y'all heard that? And there's a lot of truth in that. If you really have love in your heart for someone, you're going to do stuff for that person. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you think about it right now. Is there anybody in your life that you really, truly, genuinely, deeply love that you don't do stuff for? Anybody? There's nobody. You do a lot for those people. And why do you do it? Because you love them, right? And the same is true when it comes to the Lord. If you really, genuinely, sincerely love Him, then guess what? You're going to do things for Him, right? It's the same. In fact, wasn't it Jesus that said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments? Isn't that what he said? He said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And the idea is not, if a man love me, I'm going to make him keep my commandments. The idea is, if he loves me, then he's going to do what I say. The keeping of the commandments will just be the natural result of the love that that man has for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the idea in what Paul says here, this labor of love. It's labor that they did for the Lord on the behalf of other Christians that was the result of their love for the Lord and other believers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. This is patience that comes from the hope that they had. Just like the work came from their faith and the labor came from their love, their patience came from their hope. The hope that they had, which one thing that shows is that these believers in Thessalonica had hope. And wouldn't you agree that every Christian should have hope? Every Christian. We should never really, we should never feel hopeless. We should never feel without hope, because we always have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on, no matter what happens, we always have hope. Our circumstances and situations in life change, but our relationship with Him, that's a constant thing. We always have that relationship with Him. We always have the promises that He's made to us. Not just the ones that have to do with this life, but especially the ones that have to do with the next life. So we should always have hope. These believers had hope, and that hope resulted in patience. What did they need patience for? The Bible does say you have need of patience. Isn't that what it says? You have need of patience. We all need it. And I've been told all my life, don't ever pray for patience. Why do people say that, by the way? Because the common thought, y'all know it, the common thought is when you start praying for patience, then the Lord's going to bring stuff into your life that tests your patience, right? Doesn't the Bible say tribulation worketh patience? So there is some level of truth to that thing that God's going to bring things or allow things into your life to develop patience, because tribulation worketh patience. The Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's those trying times, that tribulation, that brings about the development of patience, which the Bible says we need. We all need it, and there's a lot of reasons why we need it, but specifically in the context and what you see in other verses beyond this chapter here is that we need patience to wait for the Lord. Look at the end of this chapter right here. We'll get into it in more detail later on, but look at verse 10. It says, and to wait. You know what it requires to wait? Patience. Right? That's what it requires. And my wife and son will tell you, I'm a man of great patience. Just overflowing with it. Especially when I'm in a traffic jam. Let me show you a scripture. Go to the book of James with me. The Bible says, wait patiently for the Lord. We need patience to wait on Him just in everyday life and in the things that He's doing in our lives. One thing that I have certainly learned, James chapter 5, one thing I've certainly learned is that God's timetable and mine are different. You know what I mean? And he definitely does not always do things at the time I think he ought to do it, which as hard-headed as I am, I'm slowly learning is a good thing, because his timing is always best. And where we get in trouble is when we don't wait patiently, when we start running ahead and taking matters into our own hands. But as believers, something that we got to do is we got to wait patiently for the Lord to come back. And just be faithful each day, waiting on the Lord to come back. James chapter 5, look at verse 7, James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. He's used the illustration of farming there. You go out and plant something tomorrow, doesn't it take a little while before you get the harvest? In fact, it takes a pretty good while. You don't get it that day, you don't get it the next day, or the next day, it's usually a few months go by before you actually get to enjoy the benefits of what you've planted. And that's the illustration here. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You know what we're waiting for? I'm waiting for Jesus to show up. And the Bible says, be patient, therefore, brethren, on the coming of the Lord. He has said he's coming back, amen? He's made that promise. And I believe that he's coming back one day. Now, I don't know when it's going to be. I would love for it to be tonight. But I don't know when he's going to come. And what my responsibility is, just wait patiently and keep on being faithful. Just wait patiently. Because one day he's going to show up. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So one reason we need patience is so we can just wait on the Lord. Not give up, not quit, just wait and keep being faithful. But back over here in 1 Thessalonians 1, he says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is that their hope was in him. And Paul says to Timothy, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope is in him. The reason we have hope tonight is because of the Lord Jesus. Without him, we would be hopeless. Without him, we would have no hope at all. So our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we start trying to get our hope in other stuff that we get messed up. And that's when we get let down. You keep your hope where it belongs, in the Lord. It says, in the sight of God and our Father. Again, Paul references God as our Father. And then he says, and we're going to stop here. I'm going to do y'all a favor tonight. Knowing, brethren, beloved. So first of all, brethren, saved people, beloved, they were brethren that he loved. Brethren, beloved, your election of God. And he says, this is something we knew and something we know. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Election, elect, predestination, a lot of those different terms are mentioned in the Bible. And next time we'll look at a couple of them that have to do with this. Election in the Bible always, every time it's referred to, or just about every time,